Good morning. I'm so glad to be here. It's really, truly a privilege for me to share my story, and so I say yes whenever I can. Just go ahead and jump right into this, I think. So for as long as I can remember, I wanted to be a mom and a wife, and God chose to bring me my husband when I was young. I was only 18 when we met, and 22 when we got married, which was 15 years ago yesterday. Yesterday was our anniversary. So I actually became pregnant just a few months after we were married, and as soon as I was expecting, I was really hoping it was a girl. But one morning, about 4 months into the pregnancy, I woke up and was like, oh, this is a boy. And it was. It's my first son. His name is Caleb Daniel, fearless leader. When Caleb was 9 months old, I got pregnant again and just remember feeling like, oh, I hope it's a girl. And one morning waking up and saying, oh no, it's another boy. And it was. That's Joshua Daniel, Joshua David, who's the warrior worshiper. So when you are young and have had two fast, pretty uncomplicated pregnancies, it's pretty easy to start feeling like this fertility thing is in your control. I definitely felt like we were deciding when to have children and how many. And frankly, I was a little worried with about how many we were going to wind up with, because here I was just barely 25 and I already had two. And for personal reasons, I felt very strongly about going on any kind of hormonal or permanent birth control. So I was kind of wondering what my story was going to wind up looking like. I always figured we'd have at least three, though, so I was happy when Joshua was about one and I got pregnant again, and then it happened. At a routine appointment at 13 weeks, they could not find a heartbeat. I was shocked, heartbroken, and hopeful that I would be pregnant again soon. Any of you that have experienced miscarriage maybe have had the feeling that I just want to be pregnant again on my due date. And I did, in fact, get pregnant again quickly, was, in fact, pregnant again on my due date, which happened to be February 8th of 2007, and was about 18 weeks at that point. And the next day, I went in for my appointment, and there was no heartbeat. My first thought was, I can't do this again. And God said, yes, you can. My grace is sufficient for you. I will give you the grace that you need to get through this, and he did. The first loss was a shock, and it hurt. The second one was brutal. To be that many weeks along, it was really a huge emotional blow. There was also some other family dynamics happening. My sister-in-law had her son several days later, and to kind of experience that in the wake of this later loss was very, very challenging. But I really did experience God's peace during this time. After this, I went through a myriad of tests and procedures, all of which showed absolutely nothing. There was no defect found in the baby. There was no problem that could be identified in my body. Here I had two second trimester losses and no explanation. Understandably, I was reeling. I was trying to understand what was happening and why. Meanwhile, I was trying to care for two young boys. I needed some time before trying again, so we waited 6 months or so, just kind of passed. We were off on a family vacation, and very surprisingly, I was pregnant when we came home. When I looked at the data, I was actually shocked that I could have conceived that month, because, you know, I kind of tracked things enough to know what was going on, and I didn't really think it was possible. And God whispered in my ear that he had literally held that egg in his hand so that conception could occur that month and that this baby was his. I remember that pregnancy so strongly, desiring that it would be a girl, and then again realizing before the ultrasound it was going to be another boy. And it was. His name is Andrew Jonathan. And he is precious. He was, in the Bible, the loyal friend who brought people to Jesus and has just had that magnetic personality since he was born. And he is the loving one of my three boys, and truly, even to this day, is like a balm to me. When he sees me sad, he comes over and strokes my arm. He is just a special, special gift. Because of the losses, there was a three-year gap between Andrew and Joshua. And I really wanted to have another child soon so that Andrew would have a little friend to go through life with. And right after Andrew was born, God had actually spoken to me and told me that we would have another boy and that his name would be Luke, which I knew was an allusion to the biblical Luke, who was a doctor, and felt like this was the Lord saying that this baby was going to have a healing role in our family. And so God was very clear when it was time to conceive again. I did, right away. This child was Luke to me from day one, and I never worried at all about losing him because of what I felt like the Lord had shared. And so imagine my shock when, again, at 13 weeks, in June of 2009, there was no heartbeat. Testing did confirm it was a boy, and so he is our Luke. I didn't understand. At this point, I really began to ask God, what are you trying to teach me here? He clearly showed me through a series of events and scriptures that he was trying to root out anger and bitterness and resentment in my life. Not necessarily tied to losing the babies, but just kind of issues in my life in general, and that this was to help focus me in on that. He also gave me a physical thorn in the flesh during this time, which was a dysfunctional gallbladder. I was told around this time by a GI doctor that my gallbladder was a ticking time bomb and that I should have it removed as soon as possible. And God very clearly told me I should not. He told me that if I removed the physical pain from my life, I would be circumventing the process of what he was trying to teach me and that I had to leave it in. He particularly spoke to me through Isaiah 46:4, which says, I have made you and I will carry you, I will sustain you and I will rescue you. And Isaiah 43:18-19, that says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. He was asking me to trust him with my physical body, and I said yes. This began an 18-month process of dealing with anger and hurt. It was like peeling layer after layer off of an onion. It was very painful physically. Sometimes I would be in pain for days. Emotionally, it was extremely painful and difficult. There was so much that the Lord was asking me to surrender to him. And there really was a lot of hurt in my life at this time, particularly related to my marriage. But I began to recognize that in order for that to change, I needed to change. This is when my walk to freedom really began. Yeah, that's good. Leave that there. Sometime in the fall of 2009, God specifically told me that there was a daughter for us and gave me the vision that she would be a testimony to my healing and would bring glory to God. And he also showed me how even though Luke was never born into our family, that he had actually, my pregnancy with him had started a process of healing in my life, the emotional healing, and that because of that, Luke had fulfilled his calling as healer for us. In November of 2010, the Lord impressed on me the name Eliana Grace. I had no idea what the name meant. I had only heard it once before, so I looked it up, and just imagine my amazement when I discovered that it means the Lord has graciously responded. I knew that this was a prophetic promise to me. I knew that God was with me. He knew my heart and my desires. He heard my prayers, and when his timing was right, he would have a daughter for us. My role was to continue to change and be obedient in the areas that he had revealed to me. As I continued to obey God's call to deal with anger in my life, in January of 2011, I began taking the Anger Management Compassion Workshop that McLean Bible Church, their Tyson campus, offers. I cannot recommend this class highly enough to anyone who suffers or deals with frustration or annoyance or any of the other things we like to call our anger besides anger, which is what it actually is. It was such an eye-opener for me, and it was really a major tool that the Lord used in my life to continue to pull out the roots of anger that were still there and to move me toward having a lot more control of my tongue and my emotions. During that spring, I once again became pregnant and once again miscarried. This was the fourth. In the wake of that miscarriage, I had a revelation. God had very clearly chosen to promise me a daughter, and if that baby had been born at that time, she already would have had a backstory that would have brought glory to God. And from my perspective, you know, that seemed good enough. But as I processed the loss, it became clear that God wanted even more glory from her birth than he would have received by her having been born at that time in 2011. And so he chose to delay. He also showed me that it was his desire for me to have the attitude of Job, which is shared with us in Job 1:20-21. Job has just learned he's lost literally everything, and his response was, at this Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. That is where God wanted to take me. That summer, God began to show me there were other areas of my life where I needed to let go of control and let him be God. And he also showed my husband and I that it was time for my struggles with my gallbladder to come to an end and to have it removed. And so in August of 2011, after nearly 2 years of pain and suffering, it was removed. And by God's total mercy to me, I've been completely, almost completely, gallbladder pain-free for 6 years. 2012 was an amazing and challenging year. On the one hand, at the end of 2011, both my husband and I had realized we had Lyme disease. My case seems to have been new, and so treating it for a couple of months seemed to take care of it, although it revealed some other issues which are continuing, but it's not Lyme. My husband, on the other hand, we believe his case had gone undiagnosed for at least a year, perhaps more, and because of that, it was very deeply embedded in his system. 6 years later, we're still daily affected by what the disease has done and is doing in his life. But because of his severe illness, particularly at that time, it was very clear we could not risk a pregnancy. And so for the first time in our marriage, we'd been married about 10 years at this point, I went on birth control. And as someone who knew her family was not complete, this was a very difficult step for me to take. But it was clearly not the right timing. Our marriage, while it had experienced some positive changes up to this point, was extremely challenged in 2012. Combination of the exhaustion from the illnesses, and I spent extensive time not home that year. My mom and some other people had some issues that required me to be elsewhere for a number of months, and it really took a toll on our marriage. However, I truly felt God's presence that year. He repeatedly spoke to me very clearly about how I needed to trust him and listen to him and how he was using my circumstances to prepare me for things to come. God was showing me more and more how I needed to change to become the wife that he had called me to be, but I was admittedly being a very slow learner. Slow progress is better than no progress, but I can't tell you how much I regret that I did not more fully and quickly obey. In the midst of all this pain and difficulty, though, God really gave our family an amazing gift. The beginning of 2012, which was when we were still very sick, God prompted me that we needed to renovate the ancient 80s master bathroom in our home. It was really the only part of our home that hadn't been updated in preparation to sell the home at some point, which we were not thinking of moving at that time, but my husband got on board and he actually did the renovation work himself. It took 9 months. He spent most of his free time that year gutting and redoing what turned out to be both upstairs bathrooms. By October, he was almost done. We were still not looking to move. In fact, we had decided to stay put for the time being when literally God dropped a house in our lap and said, please move here. I'm going to sell your house for you, which is a complete opposite experience of what we'd had when we had purchased and sold our other home. But he did. Within 3 weeks of seeing this house, which was not even on the market, it was the next door house of a friend of mine, and it wasn't even officially for sale. We had prepared our home to sell. God had brought us a buyer. We had signed a contract with these people. And 5 weeks later, we'd moved. It was really absolutely remarkable. It was undeniably the hand of God. And it was amazing to see his complete provision and to be reminded how powerfully he can and does move on our behalf when his timing is right. 2013, another very pivotal year for me. It was clear God wanted me to disciple other women in their Christian walks and to myself be a disciple. And personal spiritual growth and deep friendships that came from that obedience have been truly transformational for me as a person. We also made the decision that year for me to come off birth control. At that point, I was terrified by the prospect of a pregnancy. My husband was still sick, and even though my heart was dying for a baby, my head was completely freaking out over the possibility of having one. Historically, it had been a case of come within 10 feet of me, and I'm going to wind up pregnant. So I, as a result, had held very tightly to the reins of my fertility and had honestly had a mentality that babies born in April, May, or November were great, but any other time of the year was way too inconvenient. No kidding. So I had exerted some control. God wanted to break me of that and force me to trust him. And so 2013 passed, and month after month after month, I was not pregnant, and God was showing me that it is he that controls the womb, not man. Yep. In January of 2014, I was honestly surprised to discover that I was pregnant. I felt cautiously optimistic. I told some close friends so that they could pray. I saw an early heartbeat. But when I went in for another appointment at 9 weeks, once again, the baby's heartbeat had stopped. As I stood there alone in the ultrasound room, I was alone for every time that I found out I had lost a baby. The first words I spoke were, "It's in your hands, Lord. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I knew this was his choice for us. I was heartbroken, but God was still good. In the weeks that followed, I realized that even if I never had another child, I would still say he loved me and that he was good, and that it would be true whether or not I ever had a daughter. Even though I believed he had promised me one, I did not need him to fulfill that promise in order for me to know and believe that he was good. Honestly, when I lost this baby, baby number 5, I felt a door close in my heart, a closing that said, I don't have the strength to do this again. I think that was it, and I was okay with it, at peace and content. And in fact, we had some conversations about maybe closing the shop and not letting this happen again. But God, we never acted on it, and God truly had brought me to a place of surrender. I believe that God has places of surrender for each of us along our life journeys, places where he really asks us to open our hands and let go of that thing, whatever it is, that we are so tightly latched onto, to open our hearts to whatever it is that he has chosen to be best for us, and to do so with an attitude of joyous acceptance. I encourage you to reflect on how God might be working in your own life. This is probably unusual for how your speakers usually do this, but we're taking a song break. And I'm going to sing the song, I Surrender. And as I sing this, you're welcome to sing along, or you're welcome to just kind of ponder where it is in your own life that God may be asking you to surrender.
Storm, stir within.
So God had brought my heart to a place of releasing my dreams of a daughter. And I was truly content to live life as a boy mom of three. But it turns out God had other plans. On New Year's Day of 2015, I looked down at my belly and thought, that's odd. I know it was just the holidays, but that was not there yesterday. And I can tell you after having, this was pregnancy number 9, by this point, when I was 4 or 5 weeks pregnant, I mean, I looked 13 weeks pregnant. It just goes from nothing to boom overnight. So I was a little surprised, tested the next day, and sure enough, there I was, 5 weeks pregnant. I called my midwives. They started monitoring me at 7 weeks. Got to see a beautiful little flicker on the ultrasound of a beating heart. And at 8 weeks, I made the decision to go pregnant, public with the pregnancy, because frankly, I was getting really tired of telling people about my babies after I had already miscarried them. So I'm a professional baker, and I made my announcement on by saying, some people have a bun in the oven, but I usually have cupcakes. And there's my cupcake in the oven announcement. So starting at 8 weeks, hundreds of people were lifting me and my cupcake baby up in prayer. I heard God whisper in my ear early in that pregnancy, it's go time. And I just really felt very much at peace that this baby was going to make it. But I also knew that if I lost this baby, God was still good. And I knew from day one this was a girl. Some people did not believe me, but I knew from day one. At 15 weeks, I had a scare that tested how much I was really trusting God in this. The midwife could not find an external heartbeat, and usually at 15 weeks they should be able to find them, although I have a tilted uterus, so sometimes it's challenging. But she searched for about 5 minutes, and then I had to wait for about 10 minutes for another midwife to come in to check. And so while I was laying there, I thought about which cake orders I was going to have to cancel that weekend so I could have the D&C, how not awesome it was. This was happening while my husband was out of town. How I was thankful at least I had a friend that could be with me that night, and that no matter what happened, it was going to be okay, because God was still good. And on the plus side, I was kind of excited that I was going to be skinny again by summer instead of feeling like a beached whale. So we can all relate to that, right? That late pregnancy. Woo! Finally, midwife number 2 comes in and instantly finds the heartbeat, and then I cried. That was a moment. Throughout that pregnancy, I literally felt carried along by the support and prayers of so many. It truly felt like a community baby. Everyone, it seemed, knew about Little Cupcake, that was her moniker, and was praying for her safe arrival. And after we had it confirmed in April that it really was a girl, we began thinking about a name. Up to this point, I had not mentally referred to her as Eliana, I'm not really sure why, but by another name. But when I looked again at that time at what Eliana means, the Lord has graciously responded, or the Lord has responded to me, or the Lord has answered my prayers, I knew that really this girl could have no other name. And my husband wanted to give her the middle name Grace, not even realizing that that was what the Lord had told me 5 years earlier in conjunction with the name Eliana. So her name was to mean, the Lord has graciously answered my prayers. My little baby girl finally arrived, 5/12, on September 3rd of 2015. She was born in L&D triage because there was literally no room in the inn. There was a crazy baby rush, and they put us in triage, and that's where we stayed, although she was born extremely fast, so that was part of it, too. But what an incredibly special thing it has been for me to watch her just weave her way into the hearts of all these boys in our house, and the way that her face lights up when she sees them is just precious. You can see she has zero personality whatsoever. None. She is truly a joy in our lives. God has given our family an immense treasure. And I just think of the gift that we would have missed if we had, in our human pain, chosen to stop, to step in, and to stop leaving room for God to move. Truly, this was God's perfect timing. And while I never would have chosen the path to have been so long or filled with so much pain, I can see the spiritual and relational fruit that were born from that time. A friend beautifully pointed out to me when Eliana was born that in the waiting, God had taught me how to love more fully and tenderly through my son, Andrew. How in trials of health, God had strengthened my marriage and had taught me to trust him one day at a time instead of trying to plan it all myself. How in the long, dark times of sadness and questions and waiting, God had instilled in me just a complete dependence on him and his timing and peace in him alone. The years of waiting were equipping me with the characteristics that I would need to raise this precious little girl. I don't know what the future holds for our family. I have felt for many years that if we had one girl, honestly, we would have two. And last year, or maybe it was early this year, the Lord gave me another name. And it's truly the dream of my heart for Eliana to have a sister to walk through life with. But her arrival will have to be orchestrated by God, just like Eliana's was. I've already had another miscarriage since Eliana was born. I have no control. So I just know if it's the Lord's choice, it will come to pass when it is his timing for it to be. Go ahead and flip to the last slide. If you're waiting for something, and I know many of you probably are, I want to encourage you to press into the Lord. His answers to our prayers are sometimes not now, and that's often because there's something he's trying to teach us. Ask him to show you what it is that he wants to teach you or change in you, and then be willing to participate and obey him. Over the years, he's asked me to lay down many pieces of myself that were not in line with Christ's character in me, and we are still working, let me tell you. But if there's one thing I've learned, it's this: that God desires that we spend time in his presence so that he can transform us. I have been guilty of being a lazy Christian for many years, meaning I had a relationship with God, I had an active faith in God, I trusted God, but many times I would bring things to him and just leave them there and hope that he would do all the work to change the situation. Now, don't mishear me, it is the Holy Spirit at work in us that changes us. We cannot change ourselves. But I think we are mistaken when we expect that we don't have to put any effort in or do things that are difficult to experience the changes that we want to see. Change comes as a direct result of obedience and submission to God's will for our lives, but also generally for the way that he's called us to live in Scripture, full of kindness, grace, love, humility, patience, joy, etc. We must practice these things in order to become any good at them. And I don't know about you, but I need God's Spirit in me fresh every single day in order to have any hope of being obedient to those things and to have the desire to be obedient to those things and to truly want to look like Christ. It has become one of my deepest regrets that I waited as long as I did to make a daily quiet time with the Lord non-negotiable. I had every excuse in the book, not the least of which was that I was a busy mom of young kids. I don't know if it was mentioned in the bio, but I homeschooled them too, so like I'd never have, I think there's always people in my house. And so I really asked the Lord, how can I get earlier in the morning and still function? This seems like an oxymoron to me. But God, let me tell you, has been faithful to me in that. And honestly, my morning quiet times are like breath to me now. When I don't have it, I just feel off all day long. So rather than feeling more tired, they have filled me with life. In those moments, Jesus speaks truth. He changes my heart. And heart changes lead to behavior changes. And behavior changes can change literally everything. This sweet time with Jesus can take us from places of fear, worry, sadness, anger, self-sufficiency, and the desire for control to a place where we can truly, honestly trust the Lord for whatever it is that comes our way and be at peace. A place where we can say, it is well with my soul, and live like we mean it. So we're going to close our time with singing It Is Well, the Bethel version. And again, you're welcome to sing or listen and reflect, whatever you prefer.
Before, moved by the sound of his voice, seas that are shaken and stern can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, my eyes are. even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me, I'll be thrown into the midst of sea.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is well with our souls when our eyes are on you. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would work in the way that only you can in the heart of each woman here, that you would show her the pathway before her and give her the ability to lay her trust completely in your hands and to surrender her heart and her life at your feet, trusting in your sovereign goodness and your love for us, knowing that your plan for our lives is so much better than anything we could choose for ourselves. We praise your name, Lord, and pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.